You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hand Zeus and Mr. Fancy Pants. The Flames need NFL news, and here's their chance. It's ATL around the league.
Light a flame, boys. Pigskin's hot tonight. Burn, baby, burn.
Welcome back to another edition of the ATL Debate Club. Just kidding. Welcome back to the Around the NFL podcast presented by New Era. Dan Hans is here. And to my left, the reason why we rolled out that OG theme song, it's just me and the great Mark Sessler today in the studio. What's up, Bob?
That felt right to me. I mean, I don't know why we don't go back to this two-man format more often. It feels pure.
Do you mean in like perpetuity, just moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, maybe when they wipe out the entire like digital side of our news operation, we wind up at some local radio station in San Diego doing something like this.
Well, you know what? It's good to have options, and this is reps, because Wes out today, Greg back in the field. Where's Greg today?
Greg, I believe, is in San Diego. No, Los Angeles, Costa Mesa, outside of San Diego.
All right, a lot of different things.
A lot of locations.
He's with the Rams today, and he'll be back with us on Friday. Hopefully, Wes as well, but we'll see. But today, it's just you and me, Mark. And our show, if you are newer to the show, you may not be aware, and we even have Alex Wilk behind the glass, who's our original producer, that the Around the NFL podcast started as the ATL Debate Club with Mark and I tacked on to the back of the Dave Damaschek football program.
Yeah, solid
like a runt.
11 or 12 minutes, you know, at the end of a 180-minute show by Dave.
Solid also is, that's one way to describe it was the early episodes of our
Let's
program.
Put it this way. We tried to go back and listen to some of these shows on our website. They are no longer findable for the most part on our site.
Is that a bad thing? Not really.
I think the league at some point said, scrub this out of existence. So,
well, they're not going to scrub this, baby, because we're back. Anyway, this is also a video show today, so if you check out NFL.com/ATN video, this will go up live 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 Pacific. If you're overseas, figure it out. What do you want from me?
Middle of the night for you.
You know. Anyway, big show today. Big show, just the two of us, but a lot to talk about. In Texans camp, some bad news for their offense involving Will Fuller, their former first-round pick. So we'll get into what went on down there. Then our training camp spotlight series will roll on with the New York Jets and their murky quarterback situation.
We had to squeeze this Jets segment in while Greg and Wes were away.
Yeah, this is the perfect time. And Wilk, really nice job, if you're watching this video show, has this labeled as J-E-T-S, ugly, ugly, ugly. How about you're ugly, bruh?
Feels accurate. Nice job, Wilk.
I want your quarterback, by the way, Mr. USC. And finally, a little talk about the New England Patriots. It's always fun to talk.
Should be fair and balanced.
About the Pats and what's going on. A very difficult first world problem they're dealing with.
Yeah, they've been through a lot, and I think we'll dig into that. I think it's going to generate some sympathy for that club.
Yeah, so all that coming up, including we wanted to hit it on our last show. We're not able to get to it, just too much talking. That's one of the problems with our podcast, is that we talk too much. And sometimes that we can go the route where it's a 140-minute podcast, or we just have to cut down the show.
Well, what else would we be doing on an audio radio program?
Just the amount.
The amount.
Talking.
It's too much.
And I speak for myself as well as the rest of you.
I thought I did a fine job. I don't think I overspoke. I was very controlled in the last episode.
A considerable amount of speaking from you as well, Mark. I studied. You know,
I'll have to go back and track
it. Study every show and track it. Like a pitcher, like charting pitches for
some saber metrics.
A little saber metrics.
I strongly disagree with your findings.
Anyway, so we had a bump mailbag on Monday's show, but today's show we will bring the mailbag and a good way to, I like to say, interface with the listeners.
Yeah, I mean, I think last week we were kind of struggling for a topic. It was a bit of a patch of an idea, and somehow it's existed into a second show.
Yeah, and finally we'll cap the show with the return of a satellite hero who has to get something off his chest. I'll leave it at that. But before we do any of that, we got to catch up on the news, and to do that, we say hello to Sully behind the glass.
Fellas, this is a jam-packed one. It's going to be a good one today.
I hope so.
A lot of people behind the glass.
What's your pre-show grade?
Let's see. Just me and Mark. Okay, you know, Mark and I go way back.
Old intro.
Hey, Sully, you asked me the question. Yeah. Now let me go through the process.
Okay.
I mean, Mark and I are friends. We love each other. Ups and downs through the years. Wives hang out. They like each other. Miss my other buddies. B-minus. B-minus show today. All right, here we go. Let's do some news.
No days off. No days off. No days off.
Okay. Let's get this show back on track. We'll start with, yes, the Houston Texans. Bad news there. Wide receiver Will Fuller, the first-round pick in 2016, broke his collarbone, Mark, I know you like to say clavicle, during practice. No clear timetable for return. This coming from Rap Sheet. ESPN First reported the development. 23 years old. 47 catches last year. Maybe underwhelming considering the amount of hype about him coming to Houston, but a lot of that, you would say, Mark, probably points to their issues at quarterback. They were hoping to really get him and Hopkins side by side going this season, and now, especially a clavicle injury, it brings to mind Carlos Rogers way back in the day with the Lions. It's an injury that can come back and haunt you. Of course, Tony Romo, another example. Bad news.
You like to say clavicle, I think. I prefer the more common man version of collarbone, which I think more people understand.
The simpleton's clavicle, I call the collarbone.
Braxton Miller, Jalen Strong, these guys are going to have to step up now across from DeAndre Hopkins. You know, with Fuller, he was so fascinating to watch early in the year last year, 200-yard games out of the gate, never came back and repeated that. I mean, he really, I think, struggled with drops. That was a huge issue for him to focus on this offseason. But it's bad news for whether it's Tom Savage or especially if it's Deshaun Watson that wins this battle, that suddenly you're losing your deep threat. This is what's been missing in that offense for so long, and now they're missing it for a good long time.
By the way, it's just the two of us. If you could help me out, I said Carlos Rogers, it was Charles Rogers.
You have to understand that when you're speaking, I'm basically just thinking about what I'm going to say, so I'm rarely going to help you out on that.
I got you. I caught myself there. But now with Fuller out, DeAndre Hopkins, again, a lot of pressure on him to be the entire offense. He was able to be that 2 years ago. Last year, maybe not so much. And now they have to put the focus onto Braxton Miller, a former quarterback, a third-round pick, 15 catches last year. They're going to need some people to step up in this offense.
Well, how about Jalen Strong, who's really been, I think, pretty underwhelming? I mean, that's where these guys as a group have to make it happen.
Moving on, more injury news. This one, very tough for the Rams. Defensive end Dominique Easley has suffered a torn ACL in practice. Rap Sheet reported it. It is the third time he has torn his ACL, twice in college, and now he's got to try to rehab for a third time. A first-round pick of Bill Belichick back in 2014. They cut him early last season, but he had a nice year with the Rams, kind of an unheralded guy on a bad team. And now you have to wonder if his career's in doubt. It's hard to come back from that many ACLs. It's been done, but it's hard.
Well, it's been done by Thomas Davis and just a few others. I mean, it puts him into a rare group and not a pleasant group. And, you know, the Rams, meanwhile, it looks like Ethan Westbrook's someone enough to step up for them, but they are paper thin. They're rather thin. I know everyone says, you know, hey, Wade Phillips is coming in and everything, but they are thin at sort of every level of their defense right now. So it's a big challenge for them out of the gate, and they can't afford to lose any more of these guys.
Our buddy Pepper Spray is very high in the Rams defense with Wade Phillips. I would not put anything past Son of Bum, but you're right. They are not a team that could take a bunch of injuries.
Don't have Aaron Donald on the field right now.
No, he'll be there, though.
Yeah.
Moving on, other injury news. This one, originally, pull back the curtain move in our pre-prod meeting, we call it, industry talk. We were going to lead with this one. Sterling Shepard gets carted off Giants practice with a lower leg injury. And you know this is always very bad news. 98% of the time when you see the tweets coming out down on the field, a cart coming out to get him, he's crying on the field. Almost always it seems to be a ACL injury, season-ending injury of some kind. This turned out all right. Low ankle sprain for Sterling Shepard, which is much better than the dreaded high ankle sprain, which can cost guys weeks and weeks. So we don't know how long he'll be out. Ben McAdoo said he's going to see how the receiver responds to initial treatment and go from there. But Shepard seems to have dodged a major bullet, because I think a lot of Giants fans, I would think, when they saw that, said, oh my, this guy's...
Yeah, because the people who were there, and people didn't see the injury, but they saw, like you said, the response afterwards, and it was pretty fatal, the reporting, and it seemed like, wow, the Giants had just lost a really important second-year player for them. Brandon Marshall suddenly going to have a huge season if he's out, and that's not the case. And it's funny, it reminds me when they're in these training camps, because all these teams are active, and these injuries start happening invariably. The sort of the breathless reporting where we're pumping out a post and it talks about all the possible negatives for the Giants, and 3 hours later, they're fine because of the right. Giants.
Yeah, Mark and I were talking about this downstairs. I've noticed, and I'm very happy for Sterling Shepard. He's a young, ascended player, and sure, you don't want him to have a bad injury. But certain franchises, for whatever reason, what I said to Mark was, you know, if this guy was a promising Jets receiver, a promising Browns receiver, you know, his ankle is broken or the knee shot. Well, teams like the Giants, they're just those teams that are run better but also seem to get some breaks. It ends up being, not so serious.
Right. If it's the Jets, it's like the entire, you know, kitchen/dining area catches on fire and you lose half your defense. I mean, it's a totally different scenario for the Jets.
In other news, Jordan Reed, the Washington Redskins receiver, he was put on the PUP list. There was not a lot of concern going around at the time. It was expected to be a short stay. But now Redskins coach Jay Gruden announced that the tight end's injury might be something that they really have to be concerned with, because Reed went to Charlotte to see a specialist about his toe injury. There's no timetable for his return. This is nothing new, Mark.
The dreaded no timetable for return.
I mean, he missed four games last season with a concussion, had a shoulder injury. He's had lower body issues. Reed is one of the more explosive tight ends in the league, but he can't stay healthy.
This is the reverse of what we just talked about, where it started as, you know, we're not concerned, we're being cautious with Reed, and a week later, you know, the scope of what's happening is getting more concerning. The guy has missed 18 games over four seasons. When he's on the field, Kirk Cousins is at his best. I mean, that offense absolutely needs Reed out there, and to lose him, you know, the concussion thing is a whole separate issue, because that at any moment seems to, it could completely derail his career. But if they don't have him on offense, if this becomes a lingering thing that goes into September and on, they are not the same attack on any level.
In other news, Leonard Fournette is the first-round pick of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mark, I have a question.
Yes.
We're going to get to it in a second. But in your whole life, I want you to guesstimate this. And I know you weren't, nor was I, a superstar high school or collegiate athlete. But I'm just curious how many trophies you acquired from, let's say, you know, T-ball through, we'll go even softball, like our Shield championship, I'll count.
Yeah.
Even though you were more in an advisor role this season. How many trophies do you think you've acquired in your life?
I mean, almost none for individual performance. I mean, I would never be ranking high on that ladder. But, you know, I was on multiple teams, playing constantly some sort of team sport throughout my entire youth. So I'm thinking 30.
30, that's a fair number. I would say I would put myself in the 20 to 27
range. That feels right, a little less than what I would have accrued.
Like people like Sully in the millennial generation with all the participation trophies, it's probably in the thousands, I would think, for you.
Maybe, yeah. We quite a few participation trophies growing up. Yeah.
We didn't get nothing. It was like, you failed, son. Back to the coal mine for you. Double
it meant
shift.
Something, right.
Yeah. Anyway, I bring this up because Leonard Fournette of the Jaguars, he's gained hundreds of trophies, potentially. I don't know. Some of the reporting here is a little dodgy. But the man had many, many trophies, and he's somebody that does not look back in the past. So he thought of an idea, or someone thought of an idea for him. Him and the people at Metrics, which they're a supplement company, Mark, do you vouch for them on any level?
I mean, I know of them.
Okay.
I'm not tied into them on any on any way.
These are the only guys we care about anyway.
That's
so.
Right.
A supplement company at Metrics, they came up with the idea, what if we melt down your trophies, brah, and turn them into weights for a local Jacksonville high school. And the initial reporting over at Big Cat Country, a Sports Nation blog for the Jaguars, was that Fournette had 700 trophies that he donated, which you did the math. You were a 700 truther.
This got on my radar because, again, playing sports all year round, and I was given a trophy for every team I was on. It took years and years to get into what would be maybe 30, 35, 40 range. 700, I mean, you'd have to be splitting yourself into like multiple people and playing multiple sports at the same time. And I understand you did track and you get individual ones for that. But 700 to me, because we all try to break it down, it seemed like if you have about a 10, 11-year window as a youth athlete.
And he's like 23 or 22 years old.
Exactly. It's not, you know, there was a limited time here. You've got to be getting 60 to 70 trophies a year, which it's like you're a salesman if you have a bad month.
Right.
If you aren't accruing two or three trophies a month,
right.
How does this?
Got to be getting like trophies for finishing dinner. I mean, it would have been have to be just basic life functions. Oh, you woke up this morning. Here's a trophy.
I called it out, and I was right.
You nailed it, because the writer of that piece eventually said that some of the trophies were donated. But the other point I wanted to make about this is one of those stories that make me feel kind of dimwitted because I can't process how a trophy can be melted down into composite parts and turned into weightlifting equipment. And then there's this video that was posted along with this Q&A in which these like regular looking dudes are just like, oh yeah, we just take the composite parts, take the trophy dust, put it all together. I mean, 1, 2, 3. It's like, am I stupid?
Well, I get caught up with the same thing because a lot of the trophies I had, maybe now they're very, you know, rich material, but a lot of times the golden athlete, you know, hitting a tennis racket or shooting a basketball probably off the rim,
sure,
like it was made of plastic a lot of times.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
wasn't like high quality, like, you know, silver and gold. So you're melting it down, and it just feels, I think it's a very nice thing to do for Raines High School.
Really nice.
No questions there, but overly complex process. Why not maybe donate actual weights? Again, I don't want to, you know,
hey,
a very nice thing that they've done. So we'll,
no disrespect. Mark means no disrespect,
I'm
Raines.
Just saying, melting down.
Let's move on.
It kept me up.
Cost you time. You're a man who struggles to sleep in general.
I don't need this.
You need this on top of it?
No.
No, don't need that. Don't need that. All right. News for the Seattle Seahawks. Cam Chancellor. Remember when he sat out a couple games over money a couple years ago?
Yeah.
That wasn't pretty. But now you don't have to worry about that anymore because Chancellor this week signed a 3-year, $36 million contract extension, $25 million guaranteed. Does that count towards my 5 for $25 million curse for contracts? Not really, right?
It's a little off range.
It's a 3-year deal, and the $25 million is guaranteed as opposed to the total value. No, he's in the clear. Officially in the clear,
good.
Everybody. Don't worry about it. Anyway, Rap Sheet had the numbers. Chancellor coming up in the final year of a 5-year deal. He signed back in 2013. ESPN first reported. Seahawks later confirmed the signing. I will bring in Sully on this. Sully, you are a Seahawks fan.
Mm-hmm.
I heard buzz. I heard some whispers that maybe Cam was maybe on the other side last season, maybe not quite the player anymore.
I think he needs Earl. I think he needs Earl Thomas. Those two together are really, really good. I think you can almost double the quarterback rating when both of them aren't playing.
Right.
So that duo needs to be together, and that's a huge move for Seahawks.
I think what the Seahawks are telling you, too, because there are whispers that Earl Thomas, who has, I think, 2 years left on his deal, could be next.
Talked about retirement.
About retirement, but he also that was almost the same way that you talk about retirement as the Shield manager, when you got to get out of the fray
that
you were just in. And he did the same. But if they extend Thomas down the road, it tells you with Richard Sherman that they absolutely are not ready to kind of move on from the Legion of Boom's primary stars. That they still believe that if these guys can stay healthy, because Chancellor and Thomas have not often been healthy together, not fully healthy. And if you can get them back in that way, I agree with you, Sully, that this defense can still be one of the league's best.
This is the last piece of the main core of the Seahawks that are together through 2018.
That's
so
right.
Bobby's locked down. Michael Bennett's locked down. So that defense is going to be good.
There have been discussions, whispers in the past that Pete Carroll at some point could decide to move on. So you wonder if maybe when all these contracts come up, that Pete Carroll says, I'm going to go out with all these players, my players.
Our boy Tom Cable finally going to take over, football guy?
Seems possible.
Yeah. Clock's ticking for sure, and I will also say I always enjoy it when fans like Sully refer to players that they root for by their first names.
Yeah, I did drop Bobby.
Oh, yeah, Bobby. Bobby's looking good this year. Bobby looks healthy.
I can't stand that. I can't believe I did that. Sorry.
I'm really excited about Bobby this year. Anyway, thank you, Sully. Good Seahawks information. Hey, Colin Kaepernick still doesn't have a job, folks. And everyone should know that the Ravens, they're still thinking about it. They want you to know. That's going to the Ravens' nest and see a statement released by the team. A statement. Just make a decision. Here it is. We are going through a – can we get our missive music by any chance? Am I putting you on the spot too much there, Sully? A lot of pressure on Sully. Here we go. This is from General Manager Ozzie Newsome. We are going through a process. We have not made a decision. Steve Bisciotti has not told us we cannot sign Colin Kaepernick, nor has he blocked the move. Whoever is making those claims, he's wrong.
Like that Ozzie Newsome.
Is that a double negative up top? He has not told us we cannot sign. He's confusing me. Is he saying the opposite?
I think they're trying to confuse you. I mean, it's clear that there's some... It's clear there's intense discussions going on about this, because this has become something, a total life of its own. You know, by the way, when Colin Kaepernick finally gets on a team at some point, the world's going to move on. It, 3 weeks into that, we're going to have focus on new things. The fact that he's not, the fact that the Ravens are going back and forth with this is only putting it under a bigger microscope.
Do we need this statement?
I do not need it. But there are a lot of things I don't need, but this would be one of the things I do not need.
There were reports that the owner, Bisciotti, had made the decision that he didn't think Kaepernick was worth the trouble. So it sounds like, I mean, it's probably not hard to connect the dots here, I'm answering my own question, that the owner, because the owner can do whatever he wants, says, hey, put out a statement letting everyone know I am not the bad guy here. I am not the one saying Colin Kaepernick can't be on the team. But I'm also not the guy saying that he is going to be on the team.
I think it's the coach and the GM probably really want this guy on their team. They need it. You got Ryan Mallett. You got Ryan Mallett positioned to start if Joe Flacco isn't in there. That's an absolute disaster and a season ender. So I think that the football people really want this, and it's the people concerned about sponsorship, concerned about their fans. They got hundreds of calls to the complex. That's why this is so complex.
Let's move on. Terrence Newman.
By the way, one thing, I liked how you turned Ozzie Newsome into like a British war general from the Revolutionary War.
Thank you.
It's well done.
I appreciate that, Mark. Thank you for noticing. Terrence Newman is a rarity in the NFL. He is a 38-year-old NFL quarterback, plays for the Vikings, and he has never been to the Super Bowl. And he equates that to the parallels of another life quest. You know, getting to the Super Bowl to him is the same as, and this comes from the Star Tribune, getting hot babes in college. You might get eye contact, maybe a smile, and then never hear from her again, right? So I'm chasing this hot babe known as the Lombardi Trophy. I got a couple looks at one point in time, distant glances, no smiles yet. I'm trying to get up close and personal to that babe. That's it. I gotta end it on that. I mean, I'll tell you what, and if you're watching the video show, Lombardi Trophy's pretty sexy.
It is. It's elegant.
Kind of a babe. But I will say you have to be a near 40-year-old NFL player to be dropping hot babe.
You would never hear that from a first or second year player. I will say this. You're running
or into a 10th year player.
We're running into the
Babe's
same
over.
Problem that I had with this post. As I wrote the quote. The quote is great, and there was really nothing else to say. I ran out of other content. I realized after offering to write this post that there was a sentence or two that I tacked on, and I thought, I'm not sure the world needed more than just the quote. What am I doing here?
Just let it stand alone.
Yeah.
What are some other kind of outdated terms, descriptors? Fox? Oh, she's a real fox.
Yeah, that's out.
That's out. Bad news for Connie Fox that didn't carry over. Abraham Lincoln? Was that ever like a real thing?
That wasn't in my lexicon, Dan.
Is that a Wayne's World
thing? Something I was using.
Babasaurus Rex? Is that around anywhere?
I mean, I did not call a person this necessarily.
How about Ah-Cha-Cha?
Definitely not something that I leaned on.
I mean, it's over for Hot Babe.
It's been over.
It's yeah.
He pulled it from the grave.
Let's put it back.
Put it back. Let it be at peace.
That's a beautiful woman.
That feels also awkward. I don't know who you're telling this to, but I'm sure, you know.
Yeah.
I've talked with you outside of work. I know what terms you like to use for people in general, people that you like or dislike.
All right, let's move on. Robert Kraft. Meanwhile on the throne of ease. The New England Patriots won their fifth Super Bowl title in the Kraft era. Back in February, and guess what?
What?
Kraft says there is no more room for Super Bowl banners at Gillette Stadium.
I mean,
you gotta have some onions to come out and say this to a public that could be filled with Jets and Browns fans. Onions!
Revolting.
This via the Boston Herald, we had a problem. We had no more room to put banners, so we had to change the construction around. So we have a surprise for our fans. Oh, I am so excited for this freaking surprise. I cannot wait until we get to see on the first game of the year, Thursday night, about a month from now. I can't wait until the pregame show where your boy, Bob Costas, breathlessly describes how they built an entire new wing at Gillette Stadium to house the Super Bowl banners. You got to have some onions.
Well, this gets
to brag like this.
This is, I mean, as a Jets fan, Dan, for you, this is just another chapter in the absolute, you know, inglorious scenario between your team and theirs. I will say this.
How about winning with grace, with dignity?
Well.
With doing your job.
That's out the window.
They talk about do your job. This isn't part of the job.
You can't see that this franchise has been through a trying offseason. You suddenly realize that this sort of, 10 by 15 foot cloth banner, there's nowhere to put it. You can't see that that would cause some sort of turmoil inside the building. You're totally heartless against that trial that they're going through.
And that Belichick chant at the parade. Yeah. Your cadence has to be a little quicker than that, Bill. They don't have everything figured out. They think they have everything figured out.
Well,
even the
drunken masses had a hard time keeping up with that.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Let's just move on because I'm very upset now. Here's something I want to talk about. I think it's time. You know, we visited it last week. This is something to keep tabs on. It's time to check in on the pressure valve.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot going on with Brown's second-year tight end, Seth DeValve. The buzz continues to build as we delve deeper into camp. We're in the second week of Brown's camp, and the promise is there. That's why I want to examine it further in this week's edition of...
Oh, I'm doing it again.
Again.
Pressure Valve.
All right, we're going to take you through some documented Seth DeValve news. July 29th, Patrick Max of the Browns' official website tweets, in quotes, Hugh Jackson... praising second-year tight end Seth DeValve, says he's stronger, bigger than last year, and quotes, he's hungry.
Oh, good. And younger, because he is young as well.
He is. July 30th, NFL Network fantasy analyst Marcus Grant watches coach's film of second-year tight end Seth DeValve's two highlights from last season and tells me in a private MySpace chat, Seth DeValve is as if Rob Gronkowski and Kellen Winslow had a baby and sent it to be tutored in a distant land by Ozzie Newsome.
You have private MySpace chats with other dudes in 2017?
Marcus and I do. We go deep on the fantasy, you know.
That's almost suspicious.
I find it suspicious, but I wanted to be honest.
There's almost no internet footprint for anybody on MySpace anymore, so I feel like that's where you would go where a forensics team would not be able to dig it up.
Would you rather that I create lies in my reporting? This is how we contact each other. August 1st, Veronica Lilly from veronicalillysportsonthewebnet tweets that Seth DeValve was leaving Browns camp for his Spartan, furnitureless studio apartment and discovered a kitten hobbling in pain through a green meadow.
Oh, wow.
DeValve ran to the kitty cat, picked up the tiny animal, and cradled it in his 6'3", 245-pound frame. Placing the baby animal back on the grass, DeValve showed no outward emotion as the kitty bounced around at full speed, darting to and fro, completely healed.
Total gentle giant move right there.
August 2nd, following a 14-catch, 287-yard, 5-touchdown performance in practice, second-year tight end Seth DeValve tells teammates he can't join them for a fish fry at Cody Kessler's apartment because he has somewhere to be. ABC News reporter Alexis Benz later files a story about a 6'3", 245-pound mystery man wearing a number 87 Browns jersey and being seen fleeing a Cayuga Heights warehouse at intense superhuman speeds. Cleveland police later enter the warehouse and discover a band of 22 white-collar criminals tied up and gagged on the floor of the building. Authorities later reveal that these white-collar hoodlums, a band of greedy ex-CEOs and accountants, had been working on a plan to strip the United States of all flying creatures, owls, eagles, hummingbirds, swallows, robins, seagulls, everything, which would pave the way for insects to destroy all of America's crops, allowing these greedy whites to control the food trade and turn our nation into a gaggle of vapid zombies. When police found this horde of tied-up white-collar criminals...
White-collared whites,
they discover a message spray-painted on the floor of the warehouse, which reads, "Please be kind to animals." That's all we have from Pressure Valve.
One more thing. The reporter from ABC, what was her name?
Alexis Benz from ABC News
Alexis,
in Cleveland.
You don't go reporting live that you know there was an unidentified male. He's wearing a jersey with his name on it. Get it together,
she
Alexis.
She does not operate solely in the sports world. I don't think she connected those dots. I've connected the dots for you.
That was another edition of Pressure Valve. That was a good one, Mark.
It's what's out there. It's what I'm hearing.
And I got a good feeling he might make the practice squad. I'm cross my fingers for your team.
The arrow is pointing up.
Let's move on. All right, it's time for today's training camp spotlight presented by New Era. And, you know, Mark, the New York Jets, stop me if you heard this one before, they have quarterback problems.
Well, I mean, I feel like since about age 12, that's been the case for them, age 12.
Was that like 1969? I don't care. You can't. Ken O'Brien was a quarterback problem. They've always had quarterback problems.
Including Ken O'Brien is not a potentially perfect solution.
Yeah. Anyway, nothing has changed. In fact, you know the story that there's a lot of ideas about Scam for Sam and the idea that the Jets are tanking to get the first overall pick, whoever that may be. We don't know who's going to come out next year, blah, 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 all that. So right now the Jets have to figure out who's going to be their quarterback. And this is what it's come down to. And this is how I see it, Mark. You could jump in whenever you feel it's appropriate.
I might just let you filibuster for 5 minutes here. So,
Josh McCown, the 38-year-old journeyman, you're very well aware of his abilities or lack thereof. He is considered the favorite. But I really do feel, and I feel like I speak for a lot of Jet fans out there too, that if Christian Hackenberg can play at all,
Christian Hackenberg,
if he shows any progress in camp, you just put him in day one because you just got to see what it is. There's nothing with Josh McCown to get out of it. Now, I will say this too, Mark. One voice that I really respect in the coverage of the Jets is Rich Cimini, who said that it is short-sighted. He believes it's short-sighted to put a young quarterback in before he's ready. I don't care if you're a team that's rebuilding. If you don't put in a quarterback that knows what he's doing, it's going to mess up all the other progress of your young players. You try to understand what you have on your team, what you want to keep going forward. Do you think that is the better way to look at this, which makes Josh McCown, assuming he's not a complete disaster in training camp, the right guy right now for the Jets?
Josh McCown has dominated first-team reps in camp so far, which that can all change, but I don't think that you can go into meetings with your players and your fellow coaches if Hackenberg or Bryce Petty look very average, which is very possible, and say we're going to start someone other than Josh McCown because I get what the potential plan here by the front office is, that you're going to probably get that number one pick. Josh McCown is 2-20 over the past three seasons. He has played for the 2014 Bucks and the Browns on the past two years, three of the worst teams we've seen in the last decade.
Right.
And so here he is on maybe even the worst of that group. But you cannot simply roll out Christian Hackenberg in week one and try to sell that to your fans and to your veteran players as a solution.
Well, I don't know if that's a solution, but I think the Jets, even the Jets would be willing to admit, okay, we're a little worried whether this Hackenberg thing is going to be a total disaster, a second-round pick last year. But I think and Hackenberg has shown progress. We've seen reports that he's looked good, that he's gone through four practices without throwing an interception, which I know seems like nothing, and it is nothing mostly. But this is the same guy that he was being mocked for hitting reporters with errant passes, who looked not even close to ready in the preseason work he got last year. So it's better than the other way, where it's like Christian Hackenberg has looked like Blake Bortles combined with Ryan Mallett. So my thing is, as long as he shows enough that they don't feel like they are just giving themselves zero chance, just roll with it. Because how much more development are you going to get for the younger guys with Josh McCown? Josh McCown is a limited passer at this stage of his career.
Here's the thing, and there are a handful of teams that have young quarterbacks but are not good football teams and are in the running for one of these big-time college quarterbacks in the next year's draft. So I think for every one of those teams, you have to play your young quarterbacks. If the season doesn't get off to a good start, you have to see Christian Hackenberg. You have to see if you're Cleveland, DeShone Kizer, before you decide to go draft someone at spot one, two, or three in the draft. So there is a lot of logic to play Hackenberg. I don't think Petty is part of that equation at all.
I think he is very much in the reps.
He's barely playing.
He's on the outside looking in here, as he should be. He's kind of like a 2-3 type quarterback. I think that's what it comes down to. If you get Hackenberg, just as long as you get him enough starts where you can make a real evaluation, what is that?
What about the second half of the year?
Games?
Yeah, second half of the year.
Something like that. And if you really think he needs half a year to come in after sitting out last year, that tells me a lot too. So what the organization feels about Christian Hackenberg, a lot of that will be illustrated by how long it takes them to play him.
Where are you on the P scale when it comes to Josh McCown, who, by the way, Josh McCown has had a couple games where he's been very competent. And he is, I do believe in Josh McCown, if he were at a better team around him, that he could win you five or six games.
Yep.
If that happened with the Jets, if he gets them into a situation where instead of going 0-9 like everyone predicts, that they're 3-6 and they get to four or five wins, well, I mean, what's your concern level that this whole plan is going to blow up in their face because they're not going to be bad enough?
You said P scale? P scale is 10. Because the Jets, no one's better than the Jets at messing up, being bad, but also not being bad enough to get a good pick. That's why Marcus Mariota is not their quarterback right now, a couple of late meaningless wins a couple of years back. So, yes, the P scale level is high. Just another reason why not to have McCown in there if the only thing you do is hurt you in the long term. Oh, my God, it's going to be a wild season. I said it downstairs at the newsroom yesterday. This is the first time in my life as a Jet fan I'm openly waiting for the season to be kind of over. I'm excited about the next chapter, which is the draft next April. I just want to get through this intact.
Here's who I feel for. Your dad, who just retired. He finally has time. Life is going to be fantastic. He has time to really sit down and dig in with the Jets, enjoy a football season without having to worry about what's coming on Monday with work. And he's going to watch a ripe disaster. They're going to go 2-14, and he's going to watch every snap because he's that kind of fan.
Yes, he is. At least he has the Yankees. That was today's Training Camp Spotlight presented by New Era. Speaking of New Era, their NFL training collection has a great combination of innovative performance and style with features like UV protection, moisture wicking, and cooling technology. There's no reason you shouldn't make the New Era NFL training collection a part of your daily attire. Available at retailers like Lids, NFL Shop, and Dick's Sporting Goods in your favorite team.
Except not my favorite team. They put everyone else's favorite team on the table here.
I know. Let's move on. Up next. Well, you know, we had a lot of technical difficulties that we're dealing with in this show, Mark. Not only is it just you and I, we're missing bodies, but original plan was to have Connor Orr come in today, do a little Orr, you kidding me. He had something to get off his chest.
And he really did.
It's never good when he's not able to get things off his chest. In fact, when we tried to get the segment off the ground, we saw what kind of state he was in, and now he has to take that back into his household.
Yeah, I think he may now have a second issue to get off his chest, which was the entire experience he just spent with the two of us.
Yeah. Something tells me he's going to keep his podcasting exclusively to the Heat and Light podcast going forward.
Well, he was not happy, but
Anyway, so we had the issue. We're not going to have Connor on. Also, another issue. Part of having Connor on, we're going to get Patrick Kagongo, who's up on the second floor. He's working on the creative producer side. And we're going to get the Axeman in here. We call him the Axeman.
That's what you call him, and now I will too.
Yeah. And have him wail away on his axe during Or Are You Kidding Me? And we're going to still have him on. Because why not? We got to get Kagongo in here. He's got his axe. He's got his amp. So let's welcome Patrick Kagongo onto the Around the NFL podcast. Hey, Patrick, give us a little bit of a riffage. Very nice. Can you put your headset on, Patrick? Kagongo, and we had a little issue. We wanted to ramp things up with Kagongo, and Or Are You Kidding Me? So not only
as that, he deserves,
yeah, and not only that segment not happening, we also wanted to get to really increase the Kagongo experience. So we said, hey, let's get a fog machine in here for his riffage, and Sully and Wilk behind the glass doing their job. They said, let's workshop this thing. Let's make sure it works. So yesterday, Tuesday, they brought the fog machine into the studio and fired it up. Fire is a good word because it set off the smoke alarms, and it led to the evacuation of every employee at NFL Media. We're talking 500 people. Could be 1,000. I have no idea.
During the busiest day, potentially, that we've had in like 6 or 7 months.
If you're watching the video show, we have audio, we have video footage taken by yours truly, no triple source needed, boots on the ground. We have some photographs here. And so no fog machine, no Connor, no Or Are You Kidding Me, but we still have Kagongo. And hey, how about some more sweet riffage?
Sure.
So, Patrick, just so you know, we're trying.
No, this is really entertaining. This is fun. Things happen.
Did we interrupt your day when the fire alarm went off? Were you? I would imagine you were busy when this occurred.
No comment.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this podcast generates no revenue essentially for the league. That probably costs them $4,500 to $5,000. So, be nice.
Yeah. Anyway, it was nice working with you guys. So here we go. We're gonna do the mailbag instead with Kagongo. Doesn't make any sense. There's no connective tissue.
You're getting more Kagongo though.
Yeah, but we have an axe man ready to shred.
You got
to
use him.
So at some point, maybe this will be. We could do this together, Mark. When it feels right for a shred. You know, Kagongo will shred.
You and him work in symphony. I'm going to allow you to point out. You two are, you've got a thing going on, a mutual artistry. So I don't want to interrupt. I will answer the questions when I'm asked.
Way to pass the buck there, Mark. Okay. Then let's get into it. We'll start. And thank you to everyone that sent in questions. We'll start with the O'Neill Factor. At the O'Neill Factor. Wearing an unfortunate Boston Red Sox cap. What's more likely, Brady?
What's more likely?
Brady wins 7 rings. I assume he means Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers wins 4 rings. Jameis Winston wins 2 rings. Or Trubisky, Mahomes, Kaiser, Watson win 1. Oh, I kind of like this. Okay, so let's break it down. Brady's got 5 right now.
Right.
He's turning 40 tomorrow, actually. But there is no ceiling on the roof, or whatever MJ said. So we don't know how much longer it hang on. The Patriots heavy favorites to get 6 this year. So that's interesting. Rodgers has 1, still 1, sitting on 1, not getting any younger.
So 4 is aggressive.
That's aggressive. Winston wins 2. It's hard to even begin to try to process that. We don't know really where his career is going, although it's off to a good start. And then Trubisky, Mahomes, Kaiser, Watson. Just 1 out of the 4 of those names. What do you think?
Oh, so that bottom foursome, one of them needs to win 1, basically.
Yes.
I am going to go with that because the concept of Brady winning 2 more, Winston winning 2, or Rodgers winning 3, it's hard to get to multiple Super Bowls. You could be Jameis Winston, win 1, and never get back. Look at Cam Newton. We don't know what will happen with Cam Newton. I don't love this foursome. I don't know anything about them yet.
Yeah, one of them's a Browns second-round pick, so you're giving him like equal shot at the other 3?
I just think you're asking 4 people to do one thing, more than one person to do thing multiple times.
I think
that's a Greg Rosenthal type answer.
I feel like if you were someone that drove to the desert and liked to talk about things, maybe hang out with Spice Rack for a night at the pool, Brady makes the most sense just because that team is historically dominant. People are talking 19-0, so he's only two away. Rodgers needed to get a second one at some point. Yep. Winston, I don't know. So I'm going to go with Brady. So guess what, Patrick Kagongo? The Patriots win yet again. A little throne of ease riffing. All right.
That was the tone.
We can do a little better than that.
Oh, sure.
I mean, we got you here. All right, moving on. Here we go. This one from Neil Ricard. I'm sorry if I get the names wrong. Looks like he's drinking a tasty beverage. Rockin' Ricard. If the Packers fail again in the playoffs or fall short of them, will we finally see the end of Teflon Dom? That's defensive coordinator Dom Capers, Mike McCarthy, and or GM Ted Thompson. Mark.
Well, fall short could create changes. I don't think you get rid of Mike McCarthy. I think Dom Capers is a candidate to retire after this season. And Ted Thompson, you know, he got a voice of confidence from ownership this offseason, but they've got some talented younger guys in the front office that they could raise up. So why am I continuing to read the tweet on screen? Well, I was assessing. I'm going to say no. I think if you're Green Bay, they're not an organization that kind of throws things in the blender very often. So you give him one more shot.
He's Teflon Dom for a reason. He's going nowhere ever. Mike McCarthy, well-loved in that building, it seems like. And Thompson's not going anywhere. In fact, I would think fail in the playoffs also. That could mean losing in the Super Bowl.
Right.
But I'm assuming it means another divisional loss, or maybe they get to the conference title game, whatever. But to answer the question, nobody's going anywhere, especially not Teflon Dom.
Patrick sounds like a Packers fan. He was excited about that riff.
By the way, this is the stupidest thing we've ever done.
Well, listen, we are using all our resources to the maximum. We've got, you know, we're missing people. We've added an excellent musician, a guitar man.
Next tweet, Ryan Dieter at the Deet 63. When can we expect the fantasy extravaganza? It's Mark's favorite time of year, and it also is the time where we get to send Mark over to his fantasy corner, where it's a very violent place. A lot of crime. Where's the crime rate right now at? Maybe we'll find out later this month.
Yeah, and more research on that. It's heavy.
Yeah. It's like Chicago bad. It's very bad situation.
Chicago 68.
Yeah. Or 2017. Let's read up on some.
It's also bad.
Mark. Anyway, the answer to that is in 3 weeks. Next up, Matt Rosen at Matty Rose. Matty Rose has to say this. Will the Shield three-peat with the current skipper, or next summer will a George Seifert jump in and take credit for the dynasty? I'll take this one, Mark. Yes, I am.
Yes, you should.
I hung up the cleats on the famous tweet now. If I don't come back and someone else steps in Seifert for Walsh style and wins the Super Bowl, I think a part of me will be very kind of bummed out. I miss out on that. So, Kagongo, play me the blues. I got the retirement blues.
I'm telling you right now, you are coming back. I can feel it.
I think it's time to step away.
No,
I think it's time. No. Andy, at Falcons underscore Andy, which book or film has had the greatest impact on you? Well, that's a good one. Mark, I'll throw it to you on this one.
You know, I took a look at this one before, and it always rotates for me. I love the book of Fans Notes. Mm. Wes and I love it. We both equally love it. I love the book On the Road. I love the film Thin Red Line. But as a kid, I didn't even discover Thin Red Line until like I was an adult. So there's many favorite movies and books in my life.
Yeah, I would say the early works, of Chuck Klosterman definitely led to me going through a phase in the mid-2000s where I was unconsciously plagiarizing his writing style, which everyone goes through those phases, I think, when you're writing, when you fall in love with a writer. More recently, I don't know. I can't really speak to film. There's a lot of music that I feel has had a huge impact in my life. But in terms of book or film, I don't really stand out.
I'll tell you one documentary, Sherman's March. Look it up on Netflix. It is insane.
Netflix has an amazing library. Next up, Jeff Rhino at IG in LA Fire. Okay. Brady and Belichick fall off this season, hashtag slight regression, and retire. Which coach/QB combo has best chance to form the next dynasty? Ooh, I kind of like this one. What do you got, Mark?
Hugh Jackson, Deshaun Kizer. Sticking with that.
It's a bit.
It is not a bit.
Because the answer is Todd Bowles and Christian Hackenberg.
I feel like Jeff Rhino did not get the analysis he was looking for there.
I'll throw a real one out there. Let's go with, I can't do it. I wanted to go Marcus Mariota. I can't get behind Malarkey.
I'm sticking with my answer. I fully believe it.
You do? You honestly
I fully believe it.
All right. Next up. I know you don't believe that. Joe Dirt at Papa Timber 99. Now that LeGarrette Blount is a member of the Eagles, how do you think it will affect his starting spot on the Patriots?
Love it. He will be starting for New England by Halloween.
Clever, but also insightful. Moving on. This one is from Pones. Is that right? Pones at Enrique Pones. A lot of ways you can take this one. Out of the four games in the UK this season, which will be the best/worst matchup? Okay, do you have the schedule, Mark?
I do.
Okay, let's go through the games one by one.
Okay, so Baltimore Ravens versus Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't go with the at because give me a break on one of them being a home team.
So it's basically you get to watch 3-6 Blake Bortles interceptions, Justin Tucker just going goat on the field. Yeah. C to C minus.
I put that at number four out of the four
for
me. The next one is Arizona Cardinals, LA Rams.
Hmm. Little sauce. A little bit of sauce. What do you think of Gongo?
Little jet lag.
You're right about that. I like that one. I made that my number two.
Okay.
I didn't want to go fully in order here.
I mean, if the Rams are saucy this year, if McVay, in all seriousness, if McVay comes in there and he was impressive at the end of All or Nothing, and Goff makes strides and that defense looks good, they lost easily, but Aaron Donald will be back, and the Cardinals bounce back,
lots
to like, really
lots to like,
yep. Division game. There is also a flip side where the Cardinals are in gradual decline here. And the Rams are still the Rams, and it's a bad game.
You get like a 10-9 score.
I'm with you, though. I haven't heard the other two games yet, but right now it's one.
Interdivisional, too. So, all right, so you've got Saints-Dolphins.
Saints-Dolphins, 2-7-9 teams squaring off.
I mean, I actually enjoyed watching the Dolphins for part of last season. The Saints are eternally on my radar.
Yeah. The Dolphins, it was just a cheap shot at the Dolphins. I enjoyed doing that. But could be a shootout. Could get excited there.
Definitely could. Potentially two bad defenses. I put that number three.
Okay. I'm going to put that ahead of the last game. I think that's the number two game for me right now.
Okay.
Or number one because I haven't heard the last one.
Well, the last one.
Yes.
Is the Vikings versus the Cleveland Browns, Dan.
All right. Well, listen.
Locked and loaded is my number one game.
I like it. I like the idea that maybe this is the Browns' bounce back season. And the Vikings, it's early enough in the season. They might be really frisky early on. We're talking a defensive slugfest.
Playoff implications.
Or draft implications.
Okay.
One or the other. Moving on, Tristan Costello writes... does Mark drink rosé? That's just a straight-up question for you, Mark.
That feels insulting. I will be honest, though. If it were in the, if it were the last thing in the house and it were like midnight and we're Saturday night and I needed, you know, something to top off the evening with.
Yeah.
I might, but I don't even know if I've ever had rosé.
There's what? Not.
There's I'm not. Gongo, David Ely, like, my boss, drinks it eternally, nonstop.
It's a Sunday drink.
There you go. He drinks it at brunch.
David Ely's not your boss.
No. Like a Sunday afternoon. Not brunch. Sunday afternoon. You're chilling. The weekend's been a little live.
This your rosé guy.
Wind down.
There you go.
That's when I start with the vodka. So, we're in different worlds here. But yeah.
Don't let a little advice to everyone. Don't let anyone ever booze shame you. If you like something, drink it.
That I agree.
Everybody else F off. Kagongo's loosening up now, and I really like it. Chris Boulding, at C. Boulding. Which NFL player would you want to pick you up from the airport? I'll start with this one. I think it would depend. Handsome Hank's behind the glass. Handsome Hank, you want to jump on here? Come on through.
Come on
Handsome
in, buddy.
Handsome Hank is peering. He's a very powerful third-floor entity now. He's a genuine shadowy league figure at this point of his career, which is a compliment.
But also 100%. A friend.
A friend, but that's could be fading as he gets more powerful. The only thing, I've said it many times, the only thing standing between Henry and becoming the commissioner one day is his accent. Will this sport allow an Englishman to actually be the face of the league? I believe he would be a great commissioner.
I do too.
Can we get past stereotypes?
The final frontier for the NFL is international domination. So why not say we're going to throw you an olive branch rest of the world and have someone from outside the United States?
Yeah, well, I don't think that's going to be acceptable. The big issue is what you can hear right now, my voice.
Wait, but you have a really good American, I wouldn't say really good, an entertaining American accent.
I'm not sure.
Basically Texan. Can we just hear?
Yeah, I can't imagine the commissioner.
All right, I'll give you the line. You ready? Okay. Here you go. I am excited and honored to be named as Roger Goodell's successor as the NFL commissioner.
I'm excited and honored to be the commissioner of the NFL.
Okay, so you're also from Southern Texas.
I don't think I could do that. That's a little. I don't think we could keep that going for 20 years through press conferences.
We have a couple more mailbag questions, so I figured.
Oh, wow. That's exciting.
So this one was, which NFL player would you want to pick up from the airport?
Why?
That's a better question.
Open-ended.
Why would I be picking an NFL player up from an airport?
Would want to pick you up?
Oh, to pick me up. Why would they be picking me up?
Well, I think we need to less worry about the larger life logic of this and just sort of drill down and answer the question.
Yeah. I think it would be, if you want meat and potatoes, long trip, I just want to get home, Drew Brees. He's not going to be an entertaining conversationalist. He's going to have ways set up. His phone will be charged.
Right.
He'll pick you up. The car will be clean. He'll take you home. If you want kind of a wild card, I don't know. Throw one out for me, Mark.
A wild card for me, a lot of times, like, you're flying home, your vacation's over, you're feeling depressed. You always want to extend that vacation one more night. So I want Marcel Dareus, who was nailed for essentially like drag racing a couple of years ago. He's going to make it interesting.
Right.
Los Angeles is going to be ours.
Yeah.
I like that.
I live very close to the airport as well. So I don't. With him, that would be literally over in a minute and a half. We'd be home.
Well, if you want to get home really quick, you get Sheldon Richardson.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Just like that. Let's move on with the next question. This from Logan Newsom at Pick Up the Chisels. Ooh, that's a good one. What are the chances of Dan getting behind a hashtag cancel the Warriors, hashtag save basketball type movement? It's fair, Logan, because, of course, I'm really pushing hard to get the Patriots out of the NFL. I don't know if it's going to happen, but the Warriors are getting into that realm now. And poor Hank, whose ultimate fear when he goes on check is that they will swerve to talk about the NBA.
First time
we've ever talked about the NBA on the show. It's the same situation. You want to have enough competitive balance where you don't go into a new season with a 95% chance knowledge of who's going to win the Super Bowl. So, I would get behind that movement, but I'm also a sad Knicks fan, so I have no horse in the race either. It's not like it affects me on any level.
Shout out to Frank. He is the truth. Him and Porzingis. Knicks 2018.
Do it! Shred for the Knicks in 2018! Go, go, go! This guy's full of surprises.
A much more vibrant campaign than I could get behind is cancel the National Hockey League entirely. Remove it from the planet.
Is it still going?
Fair Why? Point. Why would you? So many people love the sport.
It is time. It doesn't intrude on you on any level. It is time. Well, this is my campaign. I'm not saying anyone else needs to get behind it. These are things that are annoying to me. Hockey would be one of them. Goodbye.
You should know that in my ear, Wilkes said next tweet as you were beginning the rebuttal there. So he's not really plugged in. I can't get behind it either. Next,
my
up.
Biggest reveal about hockey, by the way, I was watching some of the whatever the final that whatever they call it, and
Stanley
and
Cup.
The Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
There are only three quarters in a hockey game.
Period.
Well, so it couldn't be. It couldn't be. Why a would quarter.
You, right? Exactly. You haven't finished yet.
Oh boy.
I'm with you. Any detracting element that you can drum up, I will support.
Thank you.
That's a bad job by hockey.
Periods. Periods. Simon Dixon at Ziggy Zepp. I live in Australia and chose to support the Jets several years ago. What are your life's biggest regret? Woo! We'll start with you on that one, Mark.
That's dark.
Your biggest regret?
I don't feel like I have a huge lingering regret. Probably like when you're young, like I was way too kind of like rigid in my thinking, and I think I would like if I could go back and be like 23 for like 2 weeks, I would take every risk possible, ask every girl out. Go to every single bar, go to multiple countries, like get lost in Ibiza for like 14 days. I mean, I would just redo this carefully planned like section of my youth.
That's fair.
Did it feel carefully planned at the time?
No, I don't know. I mean, right. You don't know what.
Didn't you end up stranded in Arizona for like
There were elements. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not saying
didn't
it was that way the whole time.
Didn't you commit mail fraud? I mean, I don't know how many more risks you could have taken.
Okay, there were some things that did happen. It wasn't non-risk taking, but more.
Yeah, I was definitely really, really bad with women all through high school into college. And as I learned later on is that you just have a little bit of confidence in yourself. So similar to what you were saying, that's not my biggest
Everyone
regret.
Who is young is like super beautiful, even if you don't think you are. When you're young, you are. So you got to ride with it.
I do like the idea of the people that are like, absolutely no regrets.
No regrets.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Fool. Any regrets, Patrick, besides coming on our show today?
I have no regrets. I'm in a good space. I just got engaged, so.
Hey, you're riding the waves.
Hey, very good.
Henry, we know you have
Young
many.
And beautiful. I have a lot of regrets. But I try not to look at them too closely because it makes me sad.
How about abandoning your homeland? Do you ever feel, does that ever creep up on you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, what the thing that got me expelled from my homeland is probably the biggest regret.
What was that?
Treason?
No, I wasn't really expelled.
Can you play something kind of about regret?
Yeah.
A lot of regret.
Doleful.
Vinny Houseplant, our friend.
Vinny.
Vinny. Dan, I miss the toaster. If the game is dead and will no longer be played and tucked away collecting dust, may I buy it? Love you. I write hits. Vinny does write hits. If you check him out, look him up on Twitter. I would like the toaster game to come back, but it's all about Wes and whether he wants it. It's about what Wes wants, if the fire's still in his belly. And it was, and I'm not insulting Wes. It was very clear, and he would acknowledge it, that he had lost that edge, that feeling that he wanted to compete. The second it comes back, I'd be all for it.
The show potentially, or that game show, I should say, if that's what we want to call it, ran its course in Wes's mind at this stage. He'd have to change. But it is our Ark of the Covenant, the toaster itself. We're not going to send it. We love you, Vinny, but we're not going to send it to any one listener to possess it. It is unpossessable.
That makes sense. As a big fan of the podcast, I miss that. But I also admire the fact that you guys, like great British sitcoms, you know, you knew when it was time to pull the plug.
Thank you.
You know, let's move on and do something different. And you've evolved and you've got new bits.
Yeah.
Shot at American television, by the way.
Yeah, great. And finally, this one from a friend of the show, a frequent guest of the show, the great Lindsay Rhodes, who gave birth to a beautiful baby girl recently. She'll be coming back soon. She has a question. How much do you guys miss me? A, so much. B, even more than A. C, we're bringing the pod to your house. Parentheses, you're not invited. D, all the above.
Click that for your Emmy reel.
What?
I'm going E. We're shorthanded today. We could have used Lindsay in the studio.
Yeah.
Stop slacking.
Get in here. Kind of like the Lions. The Lions taking their time to start their training camp. Lindsay, all right, you have two kids now. Nice maternity leave. Let's get to work. Come on in. We need you.
Right, the season's about to start.
Yep. So we miss you.
What are you doing?
We miss you, Lindsay. But get back here. Shred it, Kagongo. Thank you, Patrick Kagongo. Wow. You did it.
Just that sound, Eric and Lindsay will be. She's just awakened from a slumber.
Well, she's at this point, she will have completely written us off.
Patrick, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And going with the audible there. Henry, stopping by. However short
great
our time
to,
was
it was
together,
great to see you.
We enjoyed it. A visit from a third floor figure. Maybe gets all the way to the big chair. Probably not.
Probably not.
But that's good. Just keep working on it. Keep working on it. Maybe you could defy the odds.
Okay.
We will be back on Friday with another show. Thank you to everyone. And remember that you can check us out, NFL.com/ATN video. Tonight, Wednesday, 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific. And you can watch this bizarre show unfold on video. So until you hear from us again, this is Dan Hansa signing off for Handsome Hank, Quiet Storm, Kagongo, Wilk, and Sully behind the glass. What a show. Till Friday.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.